All right. Again, preacher is gone. Unfortunately, you have me tonight. However, I do hope you'll at least give me the ears for half an hour, 40 minutes. And again, we are centering lessons on you. And the reason for that, look around. You outnumber everybody else in the room 2-1 easily. Okay? Tonight we're going to talk about you. How important are you? Not as a group, not as a bunch of teens, not as a bunch of individuals, one person. How important is one to God? In the past 2 months, pastors brought us a series of messages based on the parables. And in one particular set, he told us about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. Just one sheep, just one coin, just one son. Yet each time that one item was lost, the owner's whole world came to a dead stop till he found that lost item. Nothing else mattered but that one item. What is the value of just one to God? We live in a busy world, one of busy and more busy. There's always something to pull us from what we're doing to something else, somewhere else. There's what we ought to do and what we need to do and what we want to do and what we should get done. We're also trained in go, 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 that if we have more than 5 minutes to breathe, we say, I'm bored. I got nothing to do. Which is to say, nothing I want to do right now, because there's always something that needs done. Now in your mind, I want you to put yourself in God's place. First, I'm going to read a couple of verses. One's John 1:3. 1:3, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Now I'm flipping from there over to Colossians 1. It's verses 16 and 17. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. We're putting ourselves in God's place. Do we understand that everything that happens in this world, every flower that blooms, every leaf that turns green or brown, every raindrop that falls, God signs off. He creates it. He sets it in motion. He gives the approval of it. God's one busy God. Imagine if you can, if it's true that no two snowflakes are alike, just the time it would take to design, create, manufacture, inspect, and sign off on all the snowflakes that fall in a single snowstorm. Not to mention determining, selecting a landing point for each and every one, designing, designating, coordinating each light breeze and every blast of wind that guides them home. If you think to yourself, God doesn't really do all that, and you don't really have the full scope of just who God is. He does all that and much, much more. God's a busy, busy God. In the lifetime I have, I could not begin to tell you all that God is doing at any one given moment. But I can say this again. He's busy, always doing. Yet even for God, there are some things so important that God stops. Tonight I want to look at a few of those things that made God stop. First, let's go back to that John chapter 1. I want to reestablish who God is, in this case, for a few years on this earth. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Same chapter, skip down to verse 14 and 15. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." Same chapter, John 1, skipping down to 29 and 30. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, that is He of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for He was before me." Baseline, Jesus is, was God. So when we look at things important to Christ, we're looking at things important to God Almighty. So in the Gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have the story of God, the God of the universe, of all universes, walking through this world, personally teaching mankind about Himself. John 21:25 tells us that if everything He did were written down, this world could not contain those books. He was one busy God. But I'm going to flip to Mark 10. I'm going to start getting a little bit of the story of what God stopped for. Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. And they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat on the wayside begging. And when he heard that was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And God stopped. Jesus stood still and commanded Bartimaeus to be called to Him. If we read down the rest of the story, Bartimaeus wants his sight. Of course, it's given to him. But here we have one time when God stopped dead for one blind man. Mark chapter 2. Very familiar stories. And again, verse 1, he entered into Capernaum after some days. It was noise that he was in the house. Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they broken it up, they let down the bed wherein and the sick of the palsy lay. We have a story here where Jesus has been traveling around preaching. He enters into one house, place to sit down. The people pack it in so bad to hear what he's got to say. He's in the middle teaching the world about God Almighty. And these guys come in, rip the ceiling out, drop this one man on a bed down through, and the preaching comes to a dead stop for the one man lying sick on the bed. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. Mark 5, verse 22, "Behold, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of the physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she'd heard, Jesus came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately, knowing himself, the virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Again, he's on his way to do great work, and he does finish that work. But as he's on his way through the crowd, one lady wants to get close enough just to touch his garment. Dead stop for the one lady. Everything ceases. God looks around to find her. Matthew 19, 13 and 14. Then were they there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. If you look back, Jesus in the middle of preaching and teaching on all kinds of different stuff. And here come a few parents bringing kids to get prayed over. They don't even know what the future of these kids are. They don't know what their needs are. They don't know what difficulties they face. But they brought them to God, and the teaching and preaching stops dead for the importance of these children. Luke 19. Luke 19, starting in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he stopped dead, looked up, saw him, and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. Today I'm going to your house. Dead stop for one man. Last one real quickly. It's Luke 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. Dead stop. We have God Almighty hanging on a cross. He is in the midst of the center of everything this Bible has to say. He is dying right now for the sins of this world. He is about to pay that ultimate price so that everybody has one shot at going to heaven, trusting what he's doing. And as he's in the middle of dying on the cross, this one thief, one murderer, hanging on a cross next to him, calls out for salvation. Dead stop. Got to take care of this first. It's the importance of one to God. Now, Bartimaeus, he was pushed aside. He was ignored and pretty much told, you're not really important. How often have we been treated that way? But the blind man refused to accept that. Instead of turning away in bitterness and resentment or defeat, he just cried out all the louder till he was heard. He cried out until God answered, "Come closer. I want to talk to you, Bartimaeus." The palsied man, he was helpless in his situation before both man and God. Somehow, he and his friends knew that they could somehow just grab God's attention. Prayer is drawing God's attention. When you're troubled, would it be nice to have four friends that would lift you up to God? Some burdens are much easier to carry with four than with one. Groups praying for you, that gets God's attention. The woman with the blood issue, she said, "If I can only touch him, even just the hem of his robe, oh, to be that close." God called her out, not to embarrass her, not because he was angry, because he wanted her to understand that to touch him would change her life forever. God's not a pop machine. You don't drop your coins in, press a button, and get what you paid for. God's not really in the business of wish granting. He's in the business of life changing. Do you really want to get that close to God? Do you really want to touch him? It will change your life. Zacchaeus, he said, "If I can just catch a glimpse of him." There's some people that came tonight to catch a glimpse of God. But do you really want to see him? God said a glimpse is not enough. Come sit with me, Zacchaeus. Talk with me. Spend time with me. Get to know me. Learn who I am. And it did change Zacchaeus' life. The thief on that cross, he simply had nothing to lose. Desperate or not, he knew God was his only option. By the way, knowing that God was his only option gave him the edge in faith. Of all those, he got his answer the quickest. God stops for people. He stops for just one. All these people had one thing in common. They recognized their need of God. That got God's attention. That made God stop. From the immediate need of the thief, to the needs and desires of the bleeding and the blind, to the unknown needs and futures of the children. All somewhere recognized a need for God and in some way called out to him. Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Yeah, we live in a busy world. We're too busy for God. If we met him on the street, we wouldn't stop to give him the time of day. Yet we expect God to cater to our every little whim or desire. And when it doesn't happen our way in our own time, we say to ourselves, there must not really be a God, or God doesn't really care about me. Then when we do have a real need in our lives, we've already dismissed God as unimportant. We go about trying to fix our needs our own way. Monetary needs, we gamble to get it, borrow at high interest, steal. To our personal needs, we run to self-help therapists, books that cost untold billions a year. We drug ourselves, drink ourselves into forgetting problems, only to find they're still there with more added when we come back around. Now, I never drank. I never did the drug stuff. But I myself found myself trying to lose this world in fantasy novels and fiction, over thousands of books on all kinds of fantasy worlds, instead of facing problems with God's help. Yet God's still there. He's willing to stop for us when and if we call. He's just a call away But do we see ourselves in need? Do we see ourselves in need of Him? And do we make that call? God is a busy God. But He stopped for those people. Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. No matter who you are, God finds you just as important as the entire workings of the universe. When a heart's in need and a heart in faith calls out, God stops to answer. 1 Kings 17 tells us a story of one of God's preachers, Elijah, and a poor unknown widow woman during a terrible time of drought. Now, Elijah had made a small hideaway home by a small brook, and God, favoring his preacher, kept that water flowing, supplied food there every day. And suddenly it all came to a stop. But why? God heard the heartfelt cry of a widow and her son, slowly starving to death, 50 miles away. And God said to his preacher, "Go to that widow's house. I'll sustain you there." God's answer to the widow's starving is to send her one more mouth to feed. Initially, it sounds crazy. But God told his man, his preacher and prophet, his favored, "I'm sending my blessings to the widow's house. If you want them, go there and get them." God didn't show that he came to a stop for his prophet. That guy had it made. God came to a stop for the woman, the widow, who may not have really even known him, but recognized her need anyway. The book of Jonah tells a story, another God's preachers, who was sent to the capital city of a nation that was an enemy of God's, an enemy of his people in his country, Israel, and an enemy of the prophet Jonah himself. The main portion of the book tells us about the rebellion of the preacher and his fight against God over being sent to help his enemy. But God knows and hears even the cries of those who are against him. If he refused to answer, if he refused to listen to the sinful, none of us could ever be saved. Jonah did not know that in a few short years his country would be captured by this same enemy. That the only reason his people weren't completely slaughtered was because of the words God sent through Jonah. The people of the city of Nineveh did not know that not too many years after this, their city would be destroyed, their country overrun, and their people murdered or enslaved. But God knew. He knew the future needs of an enemy, and God stopped everything Jonah was doing that he might give that enemy a chance to turn to him. When I was his enemy, he did the same for me. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth or demonstrates his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The worst thing that can happen to us sometimes is that things seem to go well. Life's okay. Money's not a huge problem. Friends are all right. Family's all right. Health's decent. We don't feel like we need God. So we sort of put him aside. We set him up on a back shelf. We all have a tendency to do it. The solid church-attending Christian that somehow finds every TV show, book, magazine article, newspaper comic, cereal box ingredient list and shoe size to be more important reading than 10 minutes in their Bible. Those who aren't sure why they show up for a church service. They spend the whole time playing around, writing notes, and talking. Because obviously anything they might think of, no matter how trivial or stupid, has to be more important than what God's trying to get across to them. Every one of us has a tendency to turn away from God the minute things look good and say, thanks, but no thanks. I can handle life on my own. A busy God gives us freedom to make our own choices, to run our own lives. Yet He'll stop just for us when we need and call. But we start to walk away, and the farther we walk away, the harder it is to see Him. The harder it is to get back, to admit our needs, to turn to Him. The story of Samson is recorded in Judges 13 through 16. It's a sad story about a man that God blessed his whole life. If you read only the final half chapter, you'll see him as a blind slave, giving his own life in order to destroy his enemies and God's. But if you read the first 3.5 chapters, you'll find that God had a plan and chose to fulfill it through this man. Due to promises God made to his mother before he was even conceived, God chose to bring blessings on this man's life, including Samson's incredible strength. In those 3.5 chapters, you'd read of a young man so blessed, he never knew anything less. He constantly takes it all for granted. He not only turns his back on God, but we're given glimpses of how he walked away one step at a time. But his walking away from God's plan left him without that incredible strength and helpless. His walk away from God led him to slavery. His blinding himself to what God wanted led to him being blinded. But being blinded helped him to see his need for God for the first time. It's a sad story because God blessed Samson most of his life. But Samson didn't recognize God in any way till those last 5 minutes before he died. In that final 5 minutes, in that prayer for strength to defeat his enemies, even at the cost of his own life, God heard. And God stopped. And God answered the prayers of Samson. Because we are a people of want and greed and desire, we all often see the things in this life that God's blessed us with. Like Samson, we are favored and can be more so if we'll only call on God. But we take it all for granted. For just one, he's willing to stop. The question is, what will it take before you're willing to stop for him? Sometimes turning back to God requires some major changes. Imagine driving down a long country road. You leave your home, get into a car. Soon the house is just something in the distance in the rearview mirror. The farther away you get, the more dust and gravel that are kicked up, the harder it is to see home again. Sometimes old roads and life takes gradual turns, some that you barely notice. But eventually home is lost to sight. We have only memories to lead us back. When things go smooth in life, we leave God behind the same way, fading in the distance. the distractions of this world thrown up between us, unexpected turns in life? Do you know where God is? Can you find your way back? Can you go too far the wrong way that coming home is impossible? I'm going to flip back to Judges chapter 10. Read one story there briefly. Judges 10, verses 6 through 16. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zion, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served not him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin, against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsook our God and also served Balaam." And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, "Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon? And from the Philistines, the Zidianites also, and the Amalekites, and the Maonites did oppress you, and ye cried unto me, and I delivered ye out of their hands. Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of tribulation." And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, "We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day." And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. The people had to make great changes, but God answered their needs. He sent the man Jephthah against the people of Ammon, and of course, he created our young man Samson to defeat the Philistine enemies. But to get God to stop for them, to answer their call, they had to show God, who was no fool, that they were serious. They recognized their need. They recognized their inability to fill that need themselves. They recognized that God could fill that need. They called out to him, and he said, "No. You chose your lot in life. Now live with it." He did aid them in the end. He was willing to stop them for them, but not till they made some changes. Not till they took him seriously. Not till they turned to him with their whole hearts. Not till they were ready to stop for him. Who are the gods that you have chosen? Who do you turn to in your times of trouble? Advice from friend or family may be good, but sometimes they can let you down. Do you turn to alcohol and drugs? Do you turn off the world by turning on your TV, your music? Who or what really controls your life? What are you addicted to? What can you not live without? Who are the gods you have chosen? Can they help you? To God, every one is important. Important enough that he died for them. But is God important to the one? No matter how old or young, wealthy or poor, weak or strong, hurt, confused, or lost, the situation matters very little. God wants to and is willing to stop. He's waiting to stop for you. Just one. He's only one prayer away. But He is God. Do we understand that? Do we respect that? Time was created for us. God sits outside of time. So a busy God always has the time to stop for an honest call from the heart. That's how important one is to God. That's important you are to God. When a tough time brings you down, and we know life has some downs, at the bottom, look up and smile. He said it to the blind man Bartimaeus in Mark 10:49. Be of good comfort. Rise. God's calling you. God wants to reach to the one. Are you willing to reach to Him?